This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to Tailgate Talks. This is the Tailgate, and we are Big 12 champions this week as the Texas Tech Red Raiders win their first ever Big 12 championship, and we are celebrating. This is a celebratory podcast. We are Big 12 champs. Saturday was a beautiful day. We had a fun game, and just to be honest here, we've been recording for, or we thought we were recording for 30 minutes, but Riverside didn't go live for some reason, and so this is all take two for us. Just so from the top, we got about halfway through our Big 12 championship game discussion before realizing that, so just want to get that clear on the front end here. If we might sound like we've already gone through this stuff, that would be why. But we are excited, so I guess we can just dive right back into it. Texas Tech's Big 12 champions. So with all that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
Oh yeah, second time through this, but still just as pumped to talk about it because, well, Texas Tech's Big 12 champions for the first time in program history with a win over the BYU Cougars, a 34-7 dominating win thanks to a second half for the ages from the Big 12 best defense, the Big 12 best player of the game, Ben Roberts, coming up with two of the four Texas Tech turnovers by the defense in the second half that helped propel Texas Tech to the dominating victory and hoisting the Big 12 trophy at the end. Joey McGuire, confetti flying through the air. Ben Roberts getting the WWE Best Player of the Game belt, which was really dang cool. Red Raider Nation turning up for it. So before we dive into the game part of things, let's just talk about what being a Big 12 championship, bringing a Big 12 championship back to Lubbock for this football program means to us as these long diehard Red Raiders who've been dying for a moment like this and finally getting the opportunity to celebrate.
Yeah, this is, I mean, probably the biggest one we've had. I know we've had some basketball and some baseball recently.
But softball.
And softball. Don't forget them. Yep. But like, football is just another massive milestone, and yeah, it's incredible. I mean, and the Tech fans showed out all weekend in Dallas area. I think BYU fans underestimated how that stadium was going to be looking and thought it was going to be closer to like 40-60 for them, and you were in the building, so you can attest that it was not close to that. And yeah, it just means so much to like so many alumni and like Kirby that's been here for a long time and had some coaching hire struggles recently. And
a lot of names we don't have to bring up here.
bunch of alumni that we've been through ups and downs and great coaches and players and teams and not so great times. And we've seen all our other rivals have success, and now it's our time. And this team like came through on all the hype and transfers and guys that stuck around too to help create that culture and keep it going. So like, yeah, it's massive, and hopefully it just kind of is only the start to some things.
Yeah, I think that's important. Is like this might be just the beginning, and I think the coaching staff and a lot of these players aren't going to shy away from that, as this is what they're hoping is like year one of what's going to be the start of a pretty successful run with recruiting and the way things are going now. You know, we're going to go portal shopping again. You got a pretty good thing to sell here. And the Big 12 championship just kind of goes to show it. Hey, you want to come win some hardware? Look, you can come do it here. We got the ways. We know how to do it. We can prove that we did it. But yeah, it was just an awesome environment. Like you said, it was probably like 75, 25 Tech fans, 80, 20, maybe. I mean, one half of the stadium was completely red, and the BYU half of the stadium was also a lot of red. The BYU had like their kind of little patch down in the lower bowl area that was blue. They were loud. They were a good fan base, but yeah, it was dominated by Red Raiders. And there was just a different energy in this game. I haven't felt that in a long time. You know, walking into the stadium, the excitement that was in the air, everybody was there early. Like everybody was in their seats, ready to go, got chills when the band came out for the first time, when the team ran out of the tunnel. It was just like a surreal experience for a while. And like you said, we've had these moments in other sports, but there's something about football. It's the moneymaker of your school. You know that it's the biggest sport in college, and it's so difficult. And it seems so difficult with how hard it is to break through that ceiling and get to be those kind of teams at the top of the sport. The Alabamas, the Georgias, the Clemsons, Ohio States and stuff who have just dominated. It's made it feel like, especially watching Tech over the last decade plus, it just felt so far away. It was just felt so like, oh, we're never going to get to that. And to get to that moment and just have this kind of team and these kind of players and put on that kind of performance and just get to celebrate it with all the people that helped get you here, Cody on the sideline, Blanchard, Joey, you know, the whole coaching staff, these players, Barron and J-Rod and these kind of guys getting to lead you to it. It was just a surreal moment, man. It was really cool. That Raider power that Joey gave when he stepped up there is probably the coolest Raider power that I'll ever be a part of unless we bring home a natty. But I mean, it was electric. The fans were electric, and the party didn't stop after that. It was an 11 a.m. game, so that gave us the rest of the day and night to celebrate, get to watch some games, and knowing where you're probably going to be on college football playoff a Sunday when that was announced. Just kind of got to relax, watch some carnage try to unfold in the in conference championships games, and enjoy being Big 12 champs and shouting out every Red Raider and going to Texas Live and all the bars everywhere was crazy. And so Red Raider Nation really showed out. With all that said, let's move on to the game and how it took place. So Dustin had to unfortunately work during this game. So he got to watch the majority of the first half and then kind of bits and pieces of the second half. Of course, he went back and rewatched it. So we're going to focus on the first half here to start, as that was the part he got to watch the most. First half was a little on the quieter side, not a whole lot of fireworks going off in the first half. It was kind of filling each other out. BYU scores on their first drive after Texas Tech had to punt on ours. BYU going up 7-0. It was the very first drive of the entire season where Texas Tech gave up a touchdown on the first drive of the game. So I think that had Tech fans a little bit alarmed in the first half when that happened. But from there, the Red Raiders, the defense just continued to dominate, just getting stop after stop after stop. Offense was able to get a field goal And then a huge touchdown pass to Coy Aiken, where he made an incredible catch. The ref completely botched the call. I don't know how he botched that call being right there. But anyway, Coy Aiken finds himself in the end zone. Those were kind of the big plays from the half. Anything you want to discuss from the first half of the Big 12 championship?
Yeah, I watched a lot of the first quarter and then was kind of glancing, keeping up with it from there. But you could tell that BYU first offensive drive, and I'm sure they talked a ton about it in their coaches and team meetings, that they're going to put a big emphasis on trying to get up on us and score this first drive, take some time off the clock, you know, be physical, all that kind of good stuff. And they did, but it took a ton of effort on their part. They used screen plays and trick plays and took two timeouts on their first drive in the first quarter. And they, I mean, they went 7 minutes, 14 plays and 90 yards to do it. But like I said, they spent a ton of effort and energy and dug in their bag to get this done. And our defense didn't blink, didn't budge, you know. Pat BYU on the back can say, okay, bet you can't do it again. And they couldn't.
You forgot we still got a whole game to play. It wasn't just one drive, right?
Yeah. I mean, literally from the rest of the game, they had 11 drives and only had 200 yards offense in the whole game. 90 of them came on the first drive. That was it. Like, they only crossed midfield one other time, I think.
Yeah, one.
They spent a lot of
first drives, first drive of the first half, and first drive of the second half. There are only two decent drives of the game.
That was it.
Yeah, I just I like you. Once I kind of settled down, I was like, all right, remember, look, yeah, and I think I had to text you. I was like, man, that was like our worst first drive of the season. You're feeling the nerves a little bit. You're just in an anxious situation there.
Right.
You're like, you really want to win this, but we know how many times Texas lost these big games. And so I think those fears are starting to creep in. And you're just like, man, look at all they had to do. And I was kind of like, yeah. And then the defense just came out and was like, yeah, you're not doing anything against us the rest of the game. And you really settled in an offense. Just, you know, it was slow going there in the first half. You know, you had some decent drives. You know, I think you miss a field goal in the first half, or else it could have been a little bit of a bigger
kind of a chip shot too. Stone usually makes those
indoors. It kind of makes no sense. It feels like he's more consistent out. Maybe he's just used to kicking in the wind. And so when there's nothing there, he's like, I don't know what to do. But yeah, you know, first half, you know, there's a little bit that you left out there. It's a close game. You know, BYU gets the ball at the start of the first half or the second half. So, you know, you're feeling that this one's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
Second half starts. BYU drives down the field for their, like we said, their second best drive of the game. They get into field goal range. Now it's their turn. They miss a field goal. Then your offense goes down the field. You're feeling like this is one of your better drives of the game so far. And then you kind of get stopped on a fourth and two. You go for it instead of kicking a field goal there, which we both, you said you did not like. We in the stadium, I think we were kind of go for it. But now, thinking back on it, yeah, you would obviously rather have the points.
Kind of late in the second, it would have been nice to go up 9, you know, make it a 2-score game. And didn't affect you, obviously, but I think looking back at it, Joey probably wished he would have went for a field goal there also.
Yeah, I think so. Taking the points there, making this a 2-possession game, I think you got to take that opportunity. But luckily it didn't go to bite you in the butt, because right after that, you're kind of sweating, because you're like, all right, we didn't score there. BYU goes on one drive and scores a touchdown. You know, they're winning the game, and then everything from that moment turns as BYU Bernbachmeyer makes a pass. Ben Roberts reads it perfectly, tips it right to himself, makes the interception, and then in boom, 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 it's all of a sudden 21-7. As right after that, Cam Dickey takes the direct snap in for the touchdown, and then you go for two. Terrence Carter able to juke a guy, get into the end zone, and just from there it goes from 13-7, feeling like a close game, to 21-7. And feeling like all of a sudden you're in the driver's seat, feeling pretty comfortable. Talk about that 3-play stretch that was the game-changing stretch in this Big 12 championship.
Yeah, that was by far my favorite sequence. You know, that's what we try to do on NCAA. Anytime you get a pick, it's like, all right, let's bomb it and get a touchdown.
Yeah.
Flip the momentum on them real quick. And that's exactly what we did. One play, Cam Dickey untouched score. And then I forgot about the two-point conversion until you brought it up, but that was not there at all.
No.
There were two guys there right on Terrence Carter, and one guy just gave up, luckily. And then he just barreled through the guy trying to tackle him. And it's like, that was just a great effort by Terrence Carter to score there and really help us take control of this game and go up 21-7.
Yeah, you're really glad you got a guy like TC on a play like that where he's able to just take it in and get that two-point conversion. And, yeah, now you're feeling really good about yourself. You're up 21-7. You're starting to think, all right, there's no way BYU is going to be able to score.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
20 points, let alone one more touchdown. And things just got worse for them offensively from there. Their next drives go 3 plays, punt, 2 plays and a fumble. That was the A.J. Holmes blowing through the offensive line to hit Bear Buckmeyer before he's even able to hand the ball off. Romello Height falls on the ball. Unfortunately, he weren't able to score on that one, but it was still just one of those plays where he got their offense. Bear, you could tell, was totally not comfortable. And then after that, they throw another interception. Ben Roberts' second interception of the game, and one of the best interceptions that you'll see from a linebacker. Thoughts on Ben Roberts real quick as just his impact in these two interceptions and what he did in this game.
Yeah, what a freaking game by him. I mean, you know, John Curry and Jacob Rodriguez have been getting a lot of the shine all year, but we know Ben Roberts for the last 3 years is such a great middle linebacker, and boy, did he show up on the biggest stage with those two picks. Both, like, very athletic plays, too. Those were not just thrown right at him. The second one especially is, like, one of the best coverage plays you'll see, especially by a linebacker dropping 12 yards, having to flip his hips, jump in the air to almost one-hand it and pick it off. Like, incredible to have him kind of take over and get those two picks for us.
He made that pick look so smooth.
Yes.
it was such his a smooth play. His
own angle was amazing if you haven't seen it.
And I kind of forgot, like, he got banged up on that first drive.
Yeah,
he got banged up and taken out on that first drive, and then he comes back and you know, has this dominating game. The highest rated player from conference championship weekend. John F. and Curry, the highest rated corner.
Sure. Corner.
The guys were playing great, and yeah, BYU just downhill from there. And he almost had a third pick. He had a third pick thrown right to him, just bounced off his hand. It was too good to be true. He had to make two really good catches. That one was going to be too easy for him, I think.
Yeah.
BYU was just a terrible fourth quarter for them. One play interception, 4 plays turnover on downs, 1 play fumble, 4 plays and punt. And so their offense just couldn't figure it out. Bear did get his ankle twisted up on the first drive.
Yeah.
So take that as what you will. I didn't notice it in the stadium at the time that, we didn't see the replay or anything like that. So I had no idea that he was hurt until I rewatched the game.
Quarterback power up the middle against guys like Lee Hunter, there's a chance you're going to get rolled up on by guys like Lee Hunter and hurt your heel or ankle.
Yeah, that's why I'm just not a big fan of quarterback powers up the middle running right into the biggest guys on the field. Just it's not always going to work out, you know. But, yeah, you could just tell he was flustered. Two interceptions to a guy. I think he had only thrown like five interceptions coming into this game and the entire season. Throws two in this one. And
he did kind of have to try to do more in this game, just with what was on the line. So I can kind of see that, but I don't know that any of them were bad throws. I think we just had guys that made better plays.
Yeah, I think the first one to Ben Roberts was...
He just didn't see him.
He just didn't see him. Ben made a really good play. I think he thought he could maybe try to throw it over him too, and then Ben jumped up. And the second one was also just Ben just played the quarterback, and Bear wasn't, you know, wasn't paying attention to him, was kind of staring his receiver down. Ben just watched the quarterback's eyes and made a play on the ball. But then you could kind of tell after that one that it's like, man, they're scared. They're starting to run the ball. They're trying to do little things like that, and it still wasn't working for him. There's nothing that they tried. LJ Martin was supposed to be the reason that they have a chance in this one. He didn't really do much other than he scored on their first drive, but yeah, I think they had 65 yards in the first time that we played them running the ball, and they had
63
this game. So
LJ had 76, and yeah, I wonder how much of that was in that first drive. He also had 31 through some screen passes. So, I mean, he was their best player for sure.
Yes.
But still didn't make that big of a change in impact to what we were doing.
Yeah, no, didn't really feel his effect all that much. Kind of felt that a little bit on that first drive, but beyond that, you know, didn't really remember much of what he was doing in that game. But the defensive performance in the second half, just awesome. It's gonna be what's gonna be remembered from this game for a long, long time. Those four turnovers, Ben Roberts being the player of the game, and then all that. Jacob Rodriguez leads you in tackles still, just like all the other guys making those all other plays, and there's J-Rod just doing his same thing that he does every game. Mr. Consistency at the linebacker position. You just have a really good duo with him and Ben Roberts there as your linebackers. And so really fun to watch that defense play. Offense was a bit of a struggle from time to time. I don't think you put up quite the performance that I think you wanted to. I think you wanted to put it in the end zone a few more times. I think, you know, everybody, especially from the last game, was, hey, let's kick less field goals. Stone Harrington kicked 6 field goals in this game. This time he missed 2 of them. So I think you left some things on the field, but at the end of the day, you still scored 34 points against a pretty good BYU defense. So what are your thoughts on the offense and Baron Morton and the boys getting it done to help lift the trophy?
Yeah, I mean, you got a really good BYU defense that you knew they were going to come in hot because they have everything to gain, nothing to lose type situation. They did really well in the first half, but once you start getting turnovers and short fields, they just can't hold up anymore. And so really the only big worry for me is not the run game, that's for sure. I think the pass game is still just as good. It's just, can the offensive line hold up when they get blitzed and pressure? Because, you know, that's a little bit of a weakness and a hole. And then obviously, like the first drive or first quarter, we had some untimely false starts again. Mm-hmm. And that's been a theme all year. So, like, it's really just on those big guys up front with how we go on that offense.
Yeah, and they always seem to kill the drive, like, every time we get one of those. I think all 4 out of your 5 linemen had penalties in this game, like a false starter at some point. Yeah, you know, I thought the offense did what you needed to do. I think, you know, you took some shots when you had to. You were moving the ball. There were just a couple times where, like you said, they'd get a pass rush on you and your offensive line kind of struggled. That'd be a drive killer. A couple penalties were drive killers. And so, you know, you're moving the ball on them. You had pretty decent numbers in this game. You're just unable to capitalize a few times and kick field goals. And you left a little points off the board, 2 missed field goals. You went for it on 4th down where you could have gone a field goal. And so this obviously could have been much worse. I just think it's funny how people be look at this game and be like, yeah, their offense, but still put up 34 points. When I was watching some other teams and their offense put up 13 points and 10 points.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to complain about still putting 30 points on the board in a game like this.
And you could argue you still had the two better running backs on the field. Yeah. I mean, LJ had 100 of his team's 200 yards, but you still had Cam Dickey with 80 or Jacoby with 80 and Cam with 72. Pretty damn good by them guys.
Yeah, pretty damn good. And they were consistent. And on those like third and shorts and stuff, when you needed them to get first downs, they were able to do it. And so I just think, yeah, offensively, sure, there's some things we want to clean up there. But I thought Barron looked good. I thought he looked about as healthy as his leg has looked this season. I thought Definitely. He was moving and extending plays pretty nicely. And so it seems like the kind of bye week we got at the end of the season, right before West Virginia, only having to play a little bit in that game has really helped him. I bet these 3 weeks will do a lot to make him feel a lot better. And I wonder what that's going to look like when he's feeling much more like himself come January 1st. And so definitely enjoyed this performance. Any other bits that you want to talk about from the game that we hadn't mentioned yet?
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned it, but Coy also had a great game.
I mean,
it's also nice that, you know, we had all this transfer portal talk and whatnot, and then when we get to the biggest game, it's guys that we recruited and have been here for a few years with Barron Morton and Ben Roberts and Coy Aiken, you know.
Like, Cam Dickey, Jacoby Williams, like all the guys.
Dudes we already had, but we just needed other guys to help us get over the hump in some other areas. Mm-hmm. So like that was kind of cool to see as well.
Yeah, I think one of the important things to discuss about this team is, yeah, we spent some money. We didn't spend the most money. Look at other teams that spend a lot of money. LSU spent a lot of money. They're look at where they are. Texas spent a lot of money. They're on the outside looking in. I think you spent money. Yes. They released a post today, like the top 25 highest paid guys. And Barron is the 25th highest paid guy. You don't have any other guys on there. There's multiple teams with several guys in the top 25.
Auburn had three guys on that roster.
Auburn had three guys to go, what, like 4-8 or whatever they went, 5-7. It was like, I just don't get like why it's just us it gets talked about in that way. Yeah. Cause like, yeah, we've spent money and we're not shy about it. And you got Cody Campbell and, you know, maybe that's some of the reason, but you know, you look at the guys that you brought in, but look at all the homegrown guys. Like you said, Ben Roberts, you know, Jacob Rodriguez, I count him as home cause he walked on. It wasn't like he was some big transfer at the time. But you know, John Curry, homegrown kid, Barron Morton stayed through everything. Your running backs, homegrown kids, you know, several of your, a few of your offensive linemen, homegrown kids, your defensive line, behind the depth that's, you know, helped you this season, homegrown guys. And so, those pieces need to be mentioned when you talk about this team. It's not just the transfers, although the transfers have, been awesome and definitely thankful for them and everything that they've done. It's definitely made everybody else's jobs a lot easier. That's for sure. Thoughts on the championship presentation, our first ever trophy presentation on this. It was awesome. You get the WWE belt for Ben Roberts. He gets to give a little speech. They asked him if they think Joey should grow a mustache. He says 100% yes, and then they give the trophy to Joey. Brett Yormark got booed when he goes up there. Tech fans never going to forget the tortilla ban. And then Joey's, you know, Raider power and post game speech and just kind of everything that went along with it. Some really good videos. There's a good video with the West Texas in My Eyes song playing that got me a little teary eyed. Just kind of everything that went after the game.
Yeah, it looked awesome. I mean, Joey giving his Raider power just like when he started here, crying on the sidelines before the game was over. You know, the linebackers got him with the Gatorade shower.
Yeah, also. It was a good shower. I thought they did a good job with that.
And he embraced it too. He's like, "Oh yes, yeah, he wanted the best. That. This is the best." And so, like, yeah, I mean, he's just talking about Joey. He's been a great leader and person to have as your head coach over the last 4 years. And I mean, he's a guy that can help blend a team like this. So
yeah,
old guys, veteran guys, guys that have been here, guys that have transferred, you know, everybody had something to prove, and he made sure they did. And so, yeah, I'm really happy for him and the coaching staff, because he kept most of them throughout most of his time. And changing coordinators this last year was a huge upgrade on both ends. And that's a big move for a head coach to pull.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, you talk about blending things in, you got to blend in two new coordinators and all these players. You got to have the right guy to be able to put all those ingredients in and make it work. And it was able to work. Yeah, you just feel I was so happy for Joey. He's just, you know, he's such an awesome coach to root for, and
yeah,
you could tell how badly he wanted this for us, for Red Raider Nation, and just how those emotions wore on him at that moment when it was complete, and that it's something that they did, and they get to be the first team, and he gets to be the first coach to ever say we won a Big 12 championship. And so just been a lot. I think, you know, that video when they, you know, they had the little believe block on the place where they wanted to put the Big 12 trophy. When they removed the block and put the trophy there. Ah, it makes me want to cry right now. It's just like so beautiful what this team did. The championship presentation was awesome. I'll never forget that. The confetti. I wish I was able to get on the field and grab some of that confetti to have as a keepsake, but I'll just have the memories. And I already ordered my Big 12 championship shirt. I'm waiting for that to get in. I was hoping it was going to be in today, but was not. So before we wrap up our talk about the Big 12 championship, let's kind of take a look back real quick and check our tailgate bets for the Big 12 championship. We did pretty good on this one. Texas Tech was a 12.5 point favorite. We both went Texas Tech on this one, and that, of course, hits with a 34-7 victory. We both are over under. Dustin went over 49.5 with a 36-14 score prediction. That does not come true. I went under 49.5 with a 31-13 score prediction. So winning that one. First half spread was Texas Tech -7. We lost that one as we were only up by 6 points at half. And then the TTU leading wide receiver, Dustin went with Terrence Carter. I went with CD. And of course, it was neither of those guys. It was Reggie Virgil leading the way for the Red Raiders.
And
Coy Aiken are right behind him with two huge touchdown catches for you in this game. And before we move on to the college football playoff for the Big 12 championship, for the first time ever, we get to turn on some damn music and open up Club Red. So you heard me. Somebody turn on some damn music.
Hood hit Chester!
Somebody turn on some damn music!
Dustin, I'm just going to make the executive decision that everybody who wore a Red Raider uniform is getting into Club Red VIP this time. Everybody's in defense, special teams.
Big 12 championship, everybody gets in.
Everybody gets in. But I did want to give you an opportunity here. If there is somebody that we hadn't mentioned by name yet, if you wanted to shout them out here. I was thinking, you know, Bryce Pollock was a pretty quiet day, but he had that one huge play breakup where they were trying to throw a screen and he blew it up. I was trying to think of other guys who we might have. I think Jaden Cofield was the guy who recovered one of those fumbles. I'm trying to think of other guys that we might have failed to mention. Reggie Virgil led the team in the receiving. I don't think we've mentioned him yet. He made some great catches, some big plays for you. Anybody else
David
that comes to
still
mind?
Still had a quiet one forced fumble, one sack for 7 yards, and two tackles for a loss.
Yeah,
and hasn't even been mentioned in five days.
Everybody else was so good. You almost forgot about him. Romello Height had the fumble recovery. that AJ Holmes helped knock out. I thought Cole Wisniewski was just once again pretty dang good for you.
Yeah.
He had a couple. He had a big hit on a receiver who was almost made a catch, but he hit makes the hit, jars the ball loose. Yeah, and you know, CD had a pretty quiet game. He had one big catch for you. But yeah, everybody gets in. Stone Harrington for field goal kicks, like we mentioned.
He loves playing BYU.
Loves playing BYU. He gets a lot of field goal. He had six attempts in this game. So yeah, he gets lots of work when we play them. So shout out to every Red Raider fan, team, coach, everybody. Everybody's getting into Club Red VIP this week for winning the Big 12 championship. And with that said, the Big 12 championship is now in our past. It's time to shift our focus to the future, where Texas Tech is participating in this year's college football playoff. Well, Sunday, the official results of the college football playoff were announced. Red Raiders knew that they were going to be in. We had a pretty good idea of where we were going to be with the fallout of the other conference championship games, with Georgia winning over Alabama pretty handily, Ohio State and Indiana playing a very close game, Indiana winning the Big Ten championship. You knew the top four teams were pretty much set. You just had to find out who you were possibly going to be playing and some of the other teams who would be filling in that bracket. The Red Raiders named the number four seed and heading out to Miami to play in the Orange Bowl. I think the one major disappointment to all Red Raider fans is that we didn't get the Cotton Bowl. That close to being able to run it back in Dallas would have been awesome. Instead, we'll have to party in Miami on New Year's, as the Red Raiders will be set to face off with the 5-seed Oregon Ducks or the 12-seeded James Madison Dukes. Most likely going to be the Oregon Ducks here, but what are your thoughts on the Red Raiders getting a bye in our first ever college football playoff and the opportunity to possibly play the Oregon Ducks in Miami?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised we stayed at the 4-seed after Georgia handled their business and then how close the Big Ten game was. We kind of needed that to be a little more like the SEC game, a little lopsided for us to maybe move around and get in that 3 spot. And get the Cotton Bowl, but we kind of lose out on proximity and just priority of order, which kind of sucks because, I don't know if you've noticed this, if A&M wins their game against Miami, you're picking A&M or Miami for a home game against Ohio State. So, like, I guess it's a lose-lose for them either way. But it just kind of sucks that, you know, the Big Ten champ has the Rose Bowl contract. The SEC champ has the Georgia Dome contract. And the Big 12 champ doesn't have the Cotton Bowl sealed up.
Yeah.
Like, how do we know? What are we doing?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Like, that should have been ours. And I'm sure the Cotton Bowl people saw that stadium this last weekend and were really hoping we would get that game.
Yeah.
Because we had it sold out so fast.
I heard some of the reasoning that Ohio State won the Cotton Bowl is they didn't want to give them the potential of playing Miami in the Orange Bowl there. And it's like, okay.
Like, I get you're playing a home or home disadvantage either way. But I'm just sure the Cotton Bowl wanted just what we wanted. And we wanted to be back in Dallas in a few weeks playing another home game.
Yeah, and I think after we just set like the Big 12 championship game attendance record, and I think any conference championship game attendance record, I think the Cotton Bowl would have been appreciative to have us back.
No doubt.
Knowing that we would have turned the hell up for a playoff game there. But yeah, I mean, was only just kind of waiting to see to get confirmed that it was going to be Oregon and, you know, the 12 seed James Madison. I think nobody expects James Madison to go into Autzen Stadium and pull that one off. So it's definitely just kind of good to see your possible future matchup with the Oregon Ducks, a team that you got to play a few years ago, a team that you're supposed to make a return trip to last year, didn't get that game. And so now you get to possibly play him in the college football playoff. And, you know, it's just exciting to see your name there. It's exciting to be in the discussion and just to already know, you got that bye and I know how awesome it would have been to have a game in Lubbock, but getting that extra rest,
it does.
It means a lot. And, you know, this bye compared to Arizona State's bye, I'm sorry, but this bye means a lot more because this was based off of your ranking, and last year's was off if you were a conference champion and you were one of the highest rated ones, you just got a bye. So Arizona State was like the 14th ranked team, but with a bye, you're like, you're actually the fourth ranked team in the country, and that's why you're getting this bye.
Right. And I've still seen some Oregon people on Twitter that I don't think have refreshed their Texas Tech tab in 2 years, and they still think we're a no defensive Tyler Shuck type team. And we're way different than that from a few years ago.
Yeah. A little different than what it looked like when he came to Lubbock and had a hard time against us there. I feel much better about our opportunity here. What do you think about our overall kind of path here? If you, like everybody would expect, you play Oregon in the next round. If you win that game, you would be playing the winner of Indiana, and they would be playing the winner of Oklahoma and Alabama. A lot of crimson in our side. and then of course, you know, that would be your path to making the national championship game.
It would be Miami, Atlanta, Miami.
Yeah.
Back to Miami type trip.
Just stay out there maybe if we beat Miami.
Yeah. That's where we also kind of got a little messed up. We could have went Cotton Bowl and then Phoenix, which is also relatively close for Lubbock fans and West Texas people. But yeah, I mean, once you're in, everybody's good at that point. Once we get to the quarterfinals when we start playing. So like, it's who it is. So like, go take care of Oregon and then shift your focus, hopefully, to Atlanta and whoever you're playing there. So yeah, it's kind of like basketball tournament. Once, I don't care what your seeds are in the Final Four, Elite Eight, you're there. Like, you're a good team. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're good teams. I think it's definitely going to be a tough one, but I feel pretty good about a matchup with Oregon
and how we are.
Yeah, I think the only team that scared me was Ohio State, but watching them against Indiana, I think, like, you know, if you're able to beat Indiana, then I'll feel pretty confident that maybe if you play Ohio State for a national championship, that you could hang with them and beat them. I think your defense is as good as anybody's. In the country. And so I definitely think that it brings some interesting games. Definitely curious to see what we look like against Oregon this go around, and hopefully you're able to get that win. And of course, once the game gets closer, once we actually know who we're playing, once Oregon and James Madison game has taken place, once we're closer to New Year's, we'll hop on the mics and actually break down this game a little bit more as the Red Raiders are set to take on the winner of Oregon, James Madison, for our first ever college football playoff game. Definitely going to be exciting build up for that one. It's either going to feel like forever. It's going to feel like the fastest 3 weeks. a lot of time between them. We still got some big basketball games to keep us entertained. Got Christmas. Then it'll be here before you know it. But we do want to get your thoughts real quick on the rest of the college football playoff, as the story of the college football playoff is Miami jumps Notre Dame in the last week to make it in as the 10 seed, knocking Notre Dame out. And Notre Dame is pissed. They are throwing a hissy fit. They are not going to go to a bowl game, and they are just pouting and pouting and getting mad at ACC, even though they're not part of the ACC. And crying. And so, yeah, Alabama doesn't take a hit for losing in the conference championship game. They make it in at the same 9 seed. Miami gets the 10 seed. And then, of course, because Duke beat Virginia, we get Tulane and James Madison, which is awesome. your thoughts on everything there?
Yeah. I don't know about the James Madison Tulane thing, but they kind of already wrote that in, so
that's
dumb on their part. Like, you can be mad about it, but it is what it is. I think the committee really screwed up like a month ago with this whole Notre Dame Miami thing, because there's no reason you should flip flop it now.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. Like, so I get Notre Dame being pissed, You've been sitting at like number 9 or 10 for the last month ahead of Miami. And Miami's been over here griping. We beat them. We have the same resume and we're one spot away. We beat them. And then both of them don't play and you flip them. Like, that makes no sense. So, like, I get Notre Dame being pissed. I don't agree with forfeiting the rest of the season and not going to your bowl game. That's kind of just petty, whatever. But, and there's a lot of funny jokes about that now. So,
I love that. Play like a champion today, but it's quit
like a champion. And
quit like a champion.
I saw one while we were talking, just scrolling, that it was the Fighting Irish guy, and he had his football and he was crying, running away. The logo picture. And so I get what Notre Dame's doing. I also don't think that's a very good recruiting pitch to say we're going to quit if we don't make it in. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't know. I don't
think that does very well for your brand type deal.
And also some of those seniors, that's just all of a sudden their last game of the year.
Like,
they didn't know that they weren't going to be putting their jerseys back on. So it feels, I get why they're a little pissed. I think the most thing is that the committee handled this one wrong from the get-go.
Yep.
It kind of makes sense when you go back and track it, though, because Miami had lost to SMU. Yeah,
there's some losses in there that made them drop.
Meanwhile, Notre Dame was winning, and so that's kind of why they're separate. But as Miami kept winning and started really dominating, getting themselves closer, once they were finally like next to each other, they were going to have to flip it. Now, why they didn't flip it last week, I think they should have flipped it. They should have flipped it last week, and then it would have made more sense. But this week, they just all of a sudden decide, now we're taking in head-to-head.
I'm kind of surprised. Are you done with the Notre Dame-Miami deal?
Yeah. Okay. That's my main thoughts.
Didn't want to move off that if you still had something. I'm surprised Ole Miss stayed at 6 and didn't get knocked any for losing Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
And some of the coaching staff. I thought they might have dropped a little bit. I don't know if you're going to raise Oklahoma up or A&M. Yeah. But I don't
know who you raise there.
I also just thought they should have got dinged a little bit for that.
Yeah.
You know?
I also thought Alabama should have maybe got dinged a little bit for just kind of getting destroyed in the – like, they dinged BYU for losing to us, but they don't ding – I know Alabama beat them in the regular season, but Alabama doesn't look as strong as they did at that time right now, I think. And I know they're not trying to decentivize teams from playing in the college – or from playing in their conference championship games, but I don't know. I thought – if anything, maybe Alabama should drop back a little bit just because they didn't look at super competitive in that game to me. But anyway, I'm just glad that we don't have to deal with any of that drama because we were set and we took care of business and we're the 4 seed. And so we're going to get to watch the Red Raiders play in a little college football playoff football for the first time. And that's exciting. And
now that first weekend, we just get to watch games for fun and stress free.
I know. It's awesome. But then when we play Oregon, I'm going to be hella nervous.
Yes, very much so. It's also an 11 a.m. game, so that sucks.
Of course. Hey, I guess we're getting used to these 11 o'clock games, though, so maybe we'll be ready to go. And it'll be noon East Coast time, so it'll be like an hour of extra sleep that we might be able to get our players. So that's the college football playoff talk. Red Raiders in at the number 4 seed. So exciting. There's some pretty cool college football playoff gear out there that I've seen. It's going to take everything in me to not just buy up all this stuff. Some postseason awards to discuss before we finish up this week. Of course, J-Rod was announced that he was not making the trip to New York for the Heisman Trophy presentation, which is just absolute bullshit. The Heisman Trophy just needs to change its name from the best player in college football to the best offensive MVP, I guess, because I don't know how you can do this as a best player in college football award and not bring one of the best players in college football when all the offensive players have pretty like stats that have been done over and over and over.
Mediocre stats. I mean, Taj Brooks last year had better stats than Jeremiah Love does right now.
Yeah.
like and the quarterbacks aren't mind blowing. I mean, they're all good quarterbacks in their own right, but they don't have like amazing stats. I mean, Graham Harrell had better stats his year that he got snubbed in fourth place and didn't get to go either.
Yeah. I mean, none of these numbers are just like, oh my gosh, remember that Fernando Mendoza season where he was just like they won a lot of games, but these nothing that just blows you away stat wise.
And I get like, all right, he's not going to win it. That's fine. But just for the TV sake and the story sake and just college football sake, have them, invite them. Also, why for the past month have you been doing this online fan voting?
Yeah, if it doesn't matter.
That he's been crushing, if it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you're doing this fan voting and he's killing it, shouldn't that mean the fans want to see him there?
Yeah, I thought it was a stupid decision. Yeah, and just invite five people. It used to be five people. Like, just invite him. Like I don't think any of us thought he was gonna win, but like everybody was clamoring, he needs an invite. He needs an invite. You have the season that he had, and not get an invite for it when he's done things better than Manti Te'o when he got invited, and so yeah, disappointing for Tech fans, disappointed for J-Rod, but he's the Heisman in our hearts, and he's the Heisman of Red Raider Nation. But he also will be bringing home some hardware this year, and he's already collecting quite a few things. He's the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. He just won the Bronco Nagurski Award for Best Defender in the Country today. He's already won the Dick Butkus Award for the Best Linebacker in the Country. So he is getting recognized. We kind of expected him to take home a lot of these awards, but your thoughts on the things, the accolades that he has taken home with him.
Don't forget the Pony Express Award.
Oh yeah.
Everybody knows about.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's
Heisman Pony Express Award.
I don't know, but him and David Bailey won the Pony Express Award for most outstanding duo in college football. This is literally the first time I've heard about this award, but hey,
yeah,
more power to him winning awards, bringing home trophies, put up in that.
Yeah. Is there a trophy for that? Or is it just like one of those like award things?
It's brand new, but yeah, I mean, very deserving to win these awards, especially like, I mean, the linebacker award, pretty shoe-in for that.
Yeah.
To win the defensive player award when you got some other pretty good edge rushers in the country and Caleb Downs at safety at Ohio State, like, edged out some really good competition to win that. So very much deserved that he's getting an award like that at a school like Texas Tech that's known for the air raid offense, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, first Big 12 player to win the award since Ndamukong Suh did in 2009. Yeah. So, yeah, congrats to J-Rod. Fantastic season. Was a pleasure watching him do his thing, and I'm just excited we get to keep watching him do it for a little bit longer as a Red Raider. Hopefully we get to watch him for a few more games. But, yeah, just awesome from him. Other Big 12 postseason awards, Defensive Newcomer of the Year and Defensive Lineman of the Year, both go to David Bailey, of course, who leads the nation in sacks. Easy awards there. First team, defense was a dominant. Lots of Red Raider names on the first team. David Bailey, Romello Height, Lee Hunter, Jacob Rodriguez, Bryce Pollock, and Stone Harrington, all first team. Second team, Cameron Dickey, Caleb Douglas, Terrence Carter Jr. Third team, Howard Sampson, Sheridan Wilson, AJ Holmes, Ben Roberts, Jacoby Williams, and Bryce Ramirez as a specialist. And then honorable mentions, Baron Morton, Jacoby Williams at running back. He was a returner on the third team, by the way. Coy Aiken, Reggie Virgil, Davion Carter, Jacob Ponton, John Curry, and Cole Wisniewski. No major gripes on this for me other than two things, and one I haven't mentioned yet, but Cameron Dickey not being first team, I think, is probably the biggest snub on here. LJ Martin was the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, so it makes sense why he's on there, but Relique Brown, the Arizona State running back, had like 20 more yards than Cam Dickey and like 8 less touchdowns than Cam Dickey.
Yeah, I sent you the stats. I don't know if you have them on you, but yeah, the stats aren't close comparatively. Like, and for the Big 12 to, I don't know who's voting on this, but for you to have the number one scoring and yards offense, not have a single player.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous. And I get like Barron's not going to get there just because he didn't play a lot of second halves, didn't play two games. That's fine. None of our receivers are crazy good. Caleb was close, but if you look at the other receivers' numbers, pretty much there. The two tight ends that got in definitely had better numbers. So, like, your only way to turn is to Cam Dickey, and it's like, oh, well, this one's close and probably should win. So, like, that's definitely the only gripe there is Cam Dickey should have got first. And maybe even Jacoby as a flex guy.
Yeah, I don't know how he was, like, just honorable mention, but as a – because he was just such all-purpose. He's one of the top players in the country in all-purpose yards.
It also just shows we were not an individual team at all.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just a bunch of dudes. That was how it was every game. You didn't know who was going to do it. You didn't know if it was going to be Barron. He didn't know what receiver. He didn't know if
yeah.
the running backs, both of them. So, like, that just shows you how well of a good team – you put together that you didn't have one stud going off. You had a lot of really good parts.
And I'll say my other gripe is that Joe McGuire did not win the Big 12 Coach of the Year, I think is pretty pathetic. I think the improvements that you made, Kalani Sitake, great coach. I don't have any gripes necessarily with him winning it, but I mean, you beat them. You beat them pretty handily in the regular season. And he kind of already did this last year. Like this, he had a pretty good, solid team last year. I know he had to take a freshman quarterback, but I mean, you had to put a lot of pieces in and do something that's never been done at Texas Tech. So I definitely thought he should have got rewarded for that.
Yes, easily.
And so it was a little bit of a bummer that he's like in all these head coaching awards, but
he's a races, finalist for the national head coach, but
can't win it in his own conference.
Yeah, ridiculous. I agree with that, though.
So those are my only two gripes from this, but shout out to all the guys that we mentioned there and for their seasons, incredible seasons. It's been fun watching them and can't wait to watch them put on the red and black one more time and hopefully keep it going as they shift their focus to the Orange Bowl and the Oregon Ducks and James Madison Dukes. That does it for our Big 12 championship recap. Before we get out of here, Dustin, any final shots you've got for the week?
No, I was pretty focused on all that football and then working a lot of JUCO basketball this weekend. Our SPC women's team is currently ranked 5th in the country. They're pretty solid. And the men's team is a roller coaster ride.
All right.
Good, but I don't know how good yet. Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned. My final shot, since we're all focused on the football side of things here, I'll take a quick chance to mention that, you know, there was a basketball game at Dickey's Arena on Sunday, and the Red Raider basketball team looked much better in this one, and they dominated LSU in this one. Christian Anderson was great. I think he had 27 points. There was one point in the game where you're 8 of 9 from 3 to start the game, so... Maybe a week's worth of practice with this team is what you needed when you haven't had a whole lot of time to mesh some of these pieces due to injuries. So, like most Grant McCaslin teams, you expect them to get better as the season goes on. Maybe this is a sign of improvement for them. So we'll keep an eye on it. Tough stretch ahead as Arkansas and Duke await. And so you will definitely find out more about yourselves, but hopefully some things were figured out against the LSU Tigers in a dominating victory at Dickey's Arena. And they play there again in the Dallas area, the American Airlines against Arkansas on Saturday. So that'll keep us Tech basketball happy, keep us entertained up until January 1st, where the Red Raider football team will kick things off in the college football playoff. So hope you guys enjoyed your Big 12 tailgates, enjoyed the game, enjoy celebrating it. I know I've been watching videos constantly, been enjoying everything, all the content from it, waiting on my Big 12 championship shirt. Hope you all enjoy a stress-free weekend where we just get to enjoy football. I think ball games kick off. And so, it's a good time. It's a good time to be a Red Raider. We're enjoying it. the success. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.